Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. Your goodness, your grace, your mercy. We thank you, Father, for the weather. Lord, we pray for those who weren't able to come out. We pray for your protection over them. Lord, we ask that we would continue to put you first in all things. And Lord, as we study sacred scripture, we ask that you would speak through it to our hearts. Confirm it even through dreams, through our friends. Lord, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that understands your ways. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You guys doing okay? It's kind of gloomy outside, huh? It's one of those sleep-in days and watch TV and drink hot cocoa days, I guess. We're just going to finish up Galatians today. And as we finish up Galatians, Paul gives us just certain teachings on how to adjust to our new life in Christ. And that our actions, it really reveals what our values are. Whatever's in our hearts will be produced with our actions, attitudes, behavior. And so when this book in general, Galatians, it deals with false teachers. And Jesus himself says, if you want to know a false teacher, you got to check out its fruits. Now fruits in that context, and normally fruits in the context of scripture, doesn't necessarily mean the person's effectiveness. That's something else. You know, fruits actually mean the person's character. Not necessarily their effectiveness. So if a pastor, and I'm not trying to say one thing or another about a pastor who has 1,000 people in their congregation, that doesn't mean that pastor is fruitful. He is effective in bringing a lot of people in, but that's not what fruit means. Fruit is their character. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and faithfulness. Those things. And here we look at just Paul's last words to the Galatians as he taught the Galatians that it's not legalism that saves you, but it's grace that saves you. It's not works that justifies you, but it's God's finished work on the cross that justifies you. That righteousness isn't a byproduct of good works, but righteousness is a byproduct of justification, which is given to us freely by Jesus Christ. And Leola talked a little bit about that. Our justification is through Christ Jesus. Amen. That's good news. Here in Galatians 6:7, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. God cannot be mocked. And so for those of us who are saying, hey, what about those, you know, child molesters or murderers? You know, what's going to happen to them? Don't worry. You know, don't worry about that. God cannot be mocked. We know that salvation is free, but God cannot be mocked. So do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Amen. Sowing and reaping, obviously, most of you know, are farming terms, right? Sowing means putting something in the ground. Reaping is getting that produce that it produces. Now, if we look at this out of context, it seems to suggest that eternal life, if we translate eternal life as going to heaven, is a byproduct of doing good things, right? No? You guys don't see that? Out of context, it does look like that. It says, if you do bad things, your end will be destruction. If you do good things, you'll go to heaven. And some people read it that way. But I don't want us to read it that way because I don't think it's presented that way. Here is, Paul is clearly talking to those who are already born again. Born again and eternal life, although they overlap in many ways, aren't the same thing. Being a believer and having eternal life, although they overlap in many ways, aren't the same thing. Because eternal life does not mean living forever. Jesus defines eternal life for us. You guys remember how Jesus defined it? He says, eternal life is knowing God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. When you're born again as a baby, although you are alive, to say that you have an intimate relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ is a little incorrect. As you mature in Christ, and all of us, we are either maturing for Christ or we're maturing in destruction. That's what it means. When you sow to the flesh, you'll reap destruction. When you sow to the Spirit, you'll have eternal life. Each and every one of us, every day, every decision, every moment has the opportunity to grow and know Christ more, or to grow and become more fleshly. Even as a Christian. And actually, unless you become a Christian, you can't even know God, right? Not the way that He wants us to know Him. You can know about God, but to have that intimacy with God is a little different. And so here Paul, after talking about being born again, after talking about being sons of God, and not just being born again, but sons as in having the authority, same authority as the Father, he comes now and talks about an eternal life aspect. So there's a progression that Paul goes through throughout the book of Galatians. First he talks about being justified. Then he talks about being sons of God. And now he's talking about eternal life. And the way to have eternal life, and I may be wrong here, but I would think reaping eternal life is akin to being a friend of God. Being so close to God that He will tell you things that He won't tell anyone else. You know, there's throughout scriptures, there are very few friends of God. You know, throughout scripture, there's a lot of people who were saved. Throughout scripture, there was a lot of people who made it in. But there was very few friends of God. People that God can talk to. People that can talk to God and even change things. For example, Abraham. He was a friend of God. Paul uses Abraham in Galatians, so I'll use Abraham. Abraham was a friend of God. You guys remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? In the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, there was angels. I'm just going to say plural because I don't remember if it was two or three, but there was angels. Huh? Yeah, there was either two or three. There was angels that came and visited Abraham. And they talked to him, he fed them, and they were going to leave. And before they left, they said, "Shall we tell Abraham what we're about to do?" And they said, yes, let's do this. Let's tell Abraham what we're going to do. And so the angel spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, we're going to destroy that city, Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, wait. Because he knew that his uncle Lot was in that same city. He said, wait. Are you really going to destroy the just with the unjust? What if there's 50 people in that city? Will you still destroy them? And the angel said, Abraham, no. If there's 50 in there, we won't destroy it. And Abraham said, wait. There probably isn't 50 people in that city. I got to lower this one. And so he said, God, what if there's 45? You know, he started haggling. I guess you could haggle with God. He's like a salesman. I don't know. I'm not going to do a Jewish joke. But he said, what about there's 45? And he said, for 45, I won't do it. And Abraham kept on haggling, and asking the Lord, and he got it down to, I think it was 10 people. He said, 10 people, if there's 10, Lord, forgive me for being this bold in asking, but what if there's just 10? Would you destroy it? And he said, Abraham, for your sake, if there's 10, I will not destroy it. Imagine that. Not only did Abraham know what God was going to do prior to him doing it, but Abraham was able to negotiate with God. Can you imagine that kind of relationship with God? Not just knowing what's going to happen in the future, but the ability to negotiate with God, to have that kind of interaction with God. And here Paul is saying, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man will reap what he sows. And there's an interesting principle there in all of our lives, but the most important principle we need to understand here today is that you can be as close to God as you want to be. That is your decision. If you want to be tight, best friends, trustworthy, even see God face to face like Moses, that's actually up to you. That's up to you. If you want to barely make it in, that's up to you too. There's a couple of passages in Corinthians that I won't go into, but it talks about in 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 15, how some people, they will be rewarded for the things that they did here on earth. Again, reward and salvation, two different things. Gifts, you cannot earn. Rewards, you earn. And Paul is saying that salvation is a gift. However, after you entered into salvation, there are rewards. And some people, on the day of judgment, when they stand before God, they will have no rewards. No rewards. None. Zero. And then there's going to be people who stand before the Lord and they will be given crowns. Even thrones. Wait, thrones? Yes. There is minimum 24 thrones in heaven. Minimum. Next to God's throne, there are 24 other thrones. Second Corinthians says, all will stand before the judge. All. Not just unbelievers, but all. How we live our lives here matters for eternity. Those who sow to the Spirit will inherit eternal life. Wouldn't that be pretty cool? Amen. To know God so much and say, wait, Lord, what if there's just one good thing I do? Can you change the course of history? The course of history could have been changed. That's not just for Abraham. Abraham was an example for us, for you and me, as sons and daughters of Christ. Abraham was approached very late in life too, I want you to know. He might have been older than you, Kenji.
No.
He was about 100. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. The opportunity is the same for everyone. Everyone breathes. Everyone is given the same opportunity of knowing Him. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunities, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Because we're going to stand before the judgment seat, there is just the urgency to continue to do good. Let me tell you, it's not easy doing good in this life. It's not. Because in this life, good is not good. The world, when you sees you doing good things, will not reward you. This world is run by Satan. That's what the scripture says. Father, we pray for your blessing over you and me right now. See, there's going to be a time, a proper time, for us to reap a harvest. Our fulfillment of the harvest will be in heaven on that day of judgment. But even prior to the day of judgment, there's going to be times where you reap what you sow. And if you reap to the flesh, you will sow destruction. But if you reap to the Spirit, at the proper time, you will reap from the Spirit. Let me ask you something. Has anyone ever reaped something spiritually that you're like, where? How did that happen? Like, for some reason, you were in a season of just stress and distress, and all of a sudden, you don't know why, but the peace of God is on you. You guys ever experienced that? For a season, you were struggling with a certain sin, and then all of a sudden, you're not struggling with it. And you don't know why. It's not like you did anything special. But you just reaped something that you were sowing. Sowing is the hard part. Well, actually, from a farmer's point of view, sowing and reaping is both hard, but sowing is harder than reaping. Because reaping, you're like happy, right? Sowing, you're just hoping something good will happen, and you're working hard. And it's going to happen later down the line. But reaping is, oh my gosh, look at the size of these corns, or whatever. Soybeans. Look at these soybeans. That's how it is in the Spirit, though. When you're struggling, and it's hard to do good, it's hard to whatever it is, it's hard to have peace, it's hard to give, it's hard to be patient, it's hard to hold your tongue, it's hard to whatever it might be. It's hard to have self-control. Don't give up. Because at the proper time, you will reap a harvest. That hard time is your sowing. The hard times, when it's hard, even when it's hard to worship, you're just sowing. You're in a season of sowing. But then there will be a season of reaping, where it's not hard to worship, where it's not hard to do some of these things that was hard to do just a couple months ago. And Paul is saying, Let us not become weary in doing good, because at the proper time a harvest, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Now Satan knows this principle very well. He knows it so well that he will do his greatest attack comes before the harvest. Before the time of reaping and harvesting, that's when he will do his greatest attack on your life, where you give up. You know, you spend so much time sowing, and you just have a little bit more to go before you start reaping, and that's where Satan will attack you the hardest. And you give up, and everything you just sowed is stolen from Satan. That's his strategy. And then he gets to plunder us in that way. And it happens all the time, all the time. It even happens in the natural, right? All the time. It happens. I've been hiking these days during my free time. And I like to go to Sabino. And it helps me check off a lot of things on my list. It checks off exercising. It checks off, having time to myself. It checks off learning. There's just a lot of things you can listen to these days online to learn. So I like to hike. I went on the Seven Falls hike. You guys ever do Seven Falls at Sabino? No one's done Seven Falls? Okay, there's a couple people back there. Alright, anyways. It's not that hard of a hike. It's not easy either though, right? To get to Seven Falls, it's about 4 miles. But it's not a strenuous hike. It's 4 miles in, and then 4 miles out. But as I was hiking, as you can tell, I need to get in better shape. I was just really tired. And I almost said, you know what, I'm just going to go back. Right before I hit Seven Falls, I was just going to walk back. But I just kept on going. I'm like, okay, I'll just give it 10 more minutes. I'll just give it a couple more minutes. And I turned the bend, and then I saw Seven Falls. It was beautiful for Tucson. It's not like we're at Yosemite. But it was beautiful. And I'm so glad I didn't give up and just walk back. I endured just 10 more minutes and I was able to see Seven Falls. And it was worth it. It made it all the worth it. But imagine if I would have went back. I would have been very discouraged. And then what if, not only imagine me going back, what if I just knew, if I just gave it 10 more minutes, you would have been there. How much more discouraged would I be? And some of you, you're just 10 minutes away from a harvest. Some of you, you're just right around that bend from a harvest. And Paul is saying, don't give up. You will reap a harvest in due time. In God's timing, you will reap a harvest. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't let Satan steal it from you. With that, let's come before the Lord in prayer. Again, I just want to repeat, some of you are so close to your harvest. It may just mean 10 more minutes of hard labor. But that's just 10%. The 90% of the hard work has already been done to receive a hundredfold harvest. Father, I pray for those who are weary today. I pray for those who are discouraged today. I pray for those who are anxious and stressed today. I pray in Jesus' name you will speak to their hearts right now, Lord. Encourage them that they will not give up. They will not grow weary. That they will continue to do good. That they will continue to seek your face. That we will keep our eyes on the prize. For the harvest is near at hand. The season and time for harvest for some of us is right around the corner. And I pray, Jesus, that you would give us the revelation to know your time. And Lord, in the good times, Lord, of our lives, in the harvest times of our lives, Lord, I pray that we would not forget to do good to those, especially those who are our brothers and sisters in the Lord. I pray that in our harvest season, that we will not forget to do good to those around us. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just convict our hearts in this. In Jesus' name, amen.